Welcome to the Outspoken Podcast. My name is Patrick Gaskell, and I am here again with the beautiful Laura Cates.
It has been quite a while since we've done our last podcast, but we are very happy to be back here recording, and we have a pretty good reason as to what's been keeping us from
being back on.
Yeah.
And that also brings us to this amazing announcement to those that have not heard so far, but we're having a baby.
We are.
Baby Gaskell.
Welcome, baby Gaskell. Baby is due in October. October 13th is our due date. And so as you can imagine, our past couple months have been very filled with lots of different things about just pregnancy in general, and that's actually going to be the topic of our podcast today.
It's the first trimester.
And just...
it's been speedy. Like, life goes pretty fast, just in general. But ever since we found out about this baby, I feel like it's been 10 times faster.
Like, warp speed.
Just because, like, now you gotta figure everything out. And you gotta almost... you got 9 months to make some moves to make sure that everything's set.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, pregnancy, it's a week-by-week sort of progress. So I feel like each week, we are focusing on the next number of whatever week it is.
Yeah.
And I feel like that really makes time go quicker.
Yeah, and then at some point, like, you get the excitement period and all that stuff. And then after a while, that kind of, like, it's set in. Now you got to kind of focus and get everything done.
Bear
and
down.
When you do bear down, 2 weeks will go by and you're like, oh man, like... the shit, like the size of the baby is like, what, 10 times bigger?
Yeah. Well, and it grows so quickly. And that's also not to say that when we're bearing down, we're not as equally excited. We're excited nonstop.
Just focused. So, well, let's start by like how we found out.
Yeah.
So, Laura, you were having a little bit of a scare at one point.
Not a pregnancy scare, a different scare. February 3rd, I had some really weird health problems kind of start. I was at work and I had some heart pains that got really severe really quickly, and I was actually just rushed to the hospital, and they said it was pericarditis, that's it.
Sounds right.
Which is swelling of the pericardium, which is the sac around the heart. And it was causing pain because I guess the heart rubs up against it. Just the inflammation in general in your heart is not a good thing. So I have rheumatoid arthritis, and this is not an uncommon thing, but it did come on really quickly and it was a little bit shocking for me and very scary, of course. And after a little while that did go away, and it turned out that that was actually a very strange early pregnancy sign. Not what you'd hope, but also just one of those lovely things life throws at you.
Well, free, we thought you were having a heart attack at work, and we can talk about like you thought it was a buildup before we figured out that it was pregnancy. Even the doctors did not know. You thought that it was, you know, maybe driven from, you know, work stress, working all those late hours, especially, you know, paired with your RA, we thought that that was the reason why, right? So that was something. Funny story, not so funny. On the same day where she was rushed to the hospital and wasn't feeling well, I come home rushing to make sure that she's okay. And coincidence, there's an ambulance parked in front of the apartment, right in front of our apartment. So I book it up the stairs to go see the ambulance and asking them what's wrong. And they're like, oh, are you the one that called? I'm like, no, what's happening? And I thought she was literally having another whatever heart episode, freaking out. And it was for someone across the street.
Hopefully they're okay. But this poor guy had a heart attack on top of my heart attack.
it was scary. Like, it was just all happening so fast. But yeah, it's been a little bit of a ride,
yeah.
Really.
I know, that was a weird way to find out. Well, I mean, that didn't necessarily lead to us finding out, but we later found out. So a couple weeks later, when we found out I was pregnant and the heart had really calmed down, I went and talked to my doctor about it and kind of just looked into why I had had that weird heart thing, and I was worried about, you know, being pregnant and then this heart thing continuing. And basically we think, we have no clear evidence like to support it, but autoimmune diseases are not really something you can be sure about ever. But we think what happened is I was about 4 weeks pregnant at the time, and my body kind of just freaked out and my immune system just shot inflammation to my heart and just started attacking itself, like it does with my disease. And then as soon as my body realized, like, oh no, she's pregnant, calm down, then it just went away and my body just focused on suppressing the immune system to make the home for the baby, which we're very grateful for. But yeah, it was a really weird thing, but kind of all came into perspective slash when all the dots connected, it was very strange.
But as soon as we did find out, it was beautiful.
Oh yeah.
Explain what happened that morning.
Well, let's see. Even before that, I mean, TMI, but my period was late and I thought it was because of my health problems and I had been on some medication for the heart thing. And
it's a week and a half? Week and a half that it was late?
2 weeks, I think.
Was it two?
I think it was a full two weeks, yeah. And this guy was so convinced. I didn't think I was pregnant at all, but he was so convinced that I was pregnant and just kept saying, yeah, like,
yeah,
you're pregnant, it's happening. And I was like,
I'm gonna be a dad.
Hun, like, I had a heart thing, my body's just whacked out, like, it's not that. But I definitely did have some early pregnancy symptoms. And I think too, because I had the heart thing, I had symptoms that I associated with the heart thing. Mm-hmm. Like I had nausea and all these other things.
It threw you off. It made you think that it wasn't pregnancy. It made you think that it was because of this illness, right?
Yeah. So, but then we had a couple other signs that really did kind of convince me that something was different. And so one Sunday, actually it was February 17th, I decided, like, you know what, he keeps saying I'm pregnant, like, literally talking to my belly, I'm just gonna take a test and either find out I'm pregnant or, like, you know, debunk him. So I drove him to work and went to the store afterwards, came home, and I had two tests. One was a digital and one was like a, just like a regular one. And took the digital one test and then just kind of waited for a bit and I picked it up and it said pregnant. And I almost didn't believe it. It was kind of like a jolt of joy, shock, and just like a feeling of like, no way, no way. Cause I mean, I've never been pregnant before. So that's a really, I don't know, it was a really weird thing.
Yeah, me either.
So I just, good one. So I, at that point in time, I was very grateful that I had bought the box that had two tests in it. Cause it was, I guess it was like a confirmation one. I grabbed that box like so quick and just like got out of the store because I really had to pee. So I was really glad that I was guided to get that particular box set. So I went and grabbed the other one and did the test too right away. And it popped up like a hard plus sign. Like I've never seen a pregnancy test with such a like very clear plus sign. And then the other digital one by that time had added a 3+. Because it's smart enough to know
how long.
It's either they show you it's like 0 to 2 weeks pregnant or mm-hmm. 3 to 4 or something. Anyway, it said 3+. So I
just
was
just from peeing on it. So weird.
It's the HCG hormone.
Oh.
You don't actually.
Oh, duh.
It's okay.
You know, how did I not know that? I feel like that's common knowledge.
It actually is.
It's actually. Oh my
yes.
That's why I knew.
Okay. Anyways, so I was so happy. I think I like looked in the mirror, covered my mouth, and just, I think I jumped up and down. I was so happy. And almost in like shock disbelief, like I just couldn't believe it. Cause at that time, like everything changes. Like the second I found out, everything changed. It wasn't just me.
It's a whole new world.
Standing there, it was, I've got a baby in me. Like this is so real. Like there is a life growing inside me. And it became so clear that I just at that moment, I was so excited, so obviously I called Pat right away, and he was at work. I had just dropped him off, and he was doing his regular getting the shop ready and all that. So he didn't pick up the phone.
Seven missed calls.
Seven. I was nonstop calling him, pacing around our house, just like, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, if he doesn't pick up, I'm getting in the car and I'm driving to his work. I cannot like keep this in. So when he finally answered on one of the calls, he's like, oh, hey, what's up? And I literally did not say hello. I just blurted out, I'm pregnant.
I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. It was like 3-4 times. I'm like, what, really? She's like, yeah. And I was like, you're messing with me. She's like, no. And then she's like, check your phone. She sent me the two
pictures. Yeah.
Of the pregnancy tests. And I was over the moon. I wanted so bad. Well, that same night when I was convinced that...
You mean the night before?
Yeah, the night before. What did I say? Same night? Yeah, no, the night before. When I was convinced that you were pregnant, we were having a conversation just basically saying like, all right, well, with, you know, the heart scare and all these different things, like, I want you to be around when the baby's like, I want to make sure that like we get those years and raise the baby and all that different stuff, right? Well, the thing
is too, we discussed like how with my, I mean, we've discussed children for a long time and we've both known that we wanted to have kids with each other. And then, yeah, with the heart thing, we just kind of got really serious and said, like, you know, like, with my disease, we don't know how it's going to go. And obviously, I want to carry my own children. And with, like, just keeping risks low and, like, just, like, trying to fight against the unknowns, like, we literally had decided, like, okay, like,
after this goes away,
like, we're starting to try. And that was, I think, the night before, actually.
And I was way ahead of the game.
I know. That night, too. That night, you talked to my belly. Like there was a baby in it. And I thought you were crazy. So I was like, there is not a baby in there.
I planted a seed with my words.
The conception was a vocal conception.
That's what I'm going to tell the kid when it comes out. I'm going to say, this is how babies are born. You just talk to the belly and just tell it that it's there.
It's going to be in the fifth grader, or the, it's going to be like first grade, talking to some girl's belly.
I'm not teaching it then.
Anyways, So told him, and then we told a couple very close. Like, I told my sister, and actually, no.
It's almost hard. You can't conceal it. It's, you have to tell someone. It's too much of a news to not tell somebody.
No, I know. Some people just keep it between them and their partner. I'm like,
wow. How?
No, but actually, fun, kind of cool, amazing fact is that I told one of my sisters, because my other sister and mom weren't home, and then called my eldest sister, who lives about 4 hours from here. And she was so happy and excited that she literally, her husband and
her
two kids, they hopped in the car and just like started driving here to see us so they could be here when I told, or we told my mom. And that was just the most heartwarming and amazing thing. I mean, I've never felt so, I mean, I feel so supported every day actually, but it was just like, I just felt so supported and loved and so excited. And I'm so excited to tell the baby that, like, just that, like, your auntie and your uncle, they couldn't wait. Like, they saw you jump in the car and like got here right away. Like, that's so awesome.
If she keeps talking about this, she's going to cry.
Yeah, I am going to cry. Okay. Some hormones.
That being said, let's talk about some of the, you know, expectations before pregnancy and what to actually expect afterwards.
Or just our own things. Every pregnancy is different. There's a lot of symptoms and stuff that are the same, but everyone's journey is just their own. Like, and you can't control it, and you've got no say, and you just got to do it. But
I mean, let's start with your point of view on it.
Expectation-wise?
Well, just the difference between how you see pregnancy, you know, from the outside looking in, and then when it's actually happening to you.
Yeah, well, I have been interested in like birth and pregnancy for years and years and years. And I've been around lots of different pregnant people. My sister just had two kids, and I mean, you have your own, and you see it on TV too, and you know about morning sickness, and you know about the symptoms and whatnot, but you don't really know what to expect until it's really happening. And the changes that happen, they really do, like, they just like eliminate like your being, and you become a pregnant person. Like, I don't know, it's just so, it's totally
you're different. Not the same.
I don't feel the
transformed.
Same. I have like days where I feel more like myself, especially more now, but that first trimester, like I just, there was so much of it that I felt like, I just felt like a completely different person, and like I just had zero control, and I was just...
The emotions.
Oh yeah, the emotions. The hormones are insane.
We're gonna go through the difficulties and all the different things to look out for, but...
Let's talk about your expectations.
So my point of view coming into it, I was pretty ignorant. I knew the morning sickness thing, but I thought it was just like a... Like, you know, you get morning sickness from time to time, and it could be worse between... That's literally all I knew, the extent of what I knew from pregnancy. I had no idea that the emotions were going to be through the roof. I thought that that was literally, you know, bedside before the girl is going to push it out. Like, that's when they're angry. That's pretty much it. Boy, was I in for a surprise.
So you got hit in the face with
me. I did. Who are you? I want my girlfriend back. What happened?
Oh, no.
And, yeah, it was interesting. So... Along the road, obviously when she had the heart condition, she stopped working there. She gave her 2 weeks notice because she was worried about her health, and I agree with her. You know, that's the number one thing. We both saw it as actually a sign for her to get back into her painting a lot more and her passions, and, you know, to break away from your regular work and really do what she loves best.
Plus, like, a lifestyle that suits a lifelong illness and can help me be optimally healthy and happy for as long as possible.
And, you know, had we known it was a pregnancy, we could have, you know, rided the what's it called? Mat leave. And
but also there's no way, like if I think about the past 3 months,
yeah,
there would have been 0 days out of all of that time I could have actually gone to work physically.
True.
Like, it just wouldn't have been possible. So
it was, yeah, you had it rough.
I had it bad.
Like, for a guy's point of view, you have to be ready. Like, it a lot of responsibility falls on your shoulders. So a couple recommendations that I would give is, you know, if you're the type of guy that your tasks are split between, okay, you know, your girlfriend cooks or your boyfriend cooks or whatever, and you take care of maybe some of the cleaning and all those different things, make sure you're able to do all the responsibilities. Like, if you're absolutely terrible at cooking, start getting used to it. Start finding ways to handle those type of responsibilities, because I'm telling you right now, you will have to take them all on.
I mean,
unless your girlfriend or the pregnant person is, you know, not going through a hard time through a pregnancy, luckily. But if they're, you know, pretty much out for the count and just really just focused on not being nauseous and getting through the days, you're gonna have to handle all of the responsibilities.
And let me just say, this man killed it. He stepped up instantly and helped me so much. He took on every responsibility. I was living minute to minute, I swear. Like, I honestly was just trying not to bawl my eyes out or puke or be... I was such a wreck. And he was there on every front. Cleaning, cooking, making sure I'm fed, and supporting me emotionally, like, mentally, everything. He was just my, like, entire life, my entire rock. Like, I just could not have done it without him. And plus, he's working. So I don't even know how he did it, but I'm so, so blessed that I have him. I'm gonna cry again.
It's tough. And how I did it really is, at the end of the day, you're gonna be a father or a mother if you guys are, you know, trying it or doing it that way. But for me, I'm looking at it as, I wanna be remembered as the person that was there and able to handle it all. And, you know, I want the mother of my child to be able to tell the kid, like, listen, like, your dad was, and also I care about the relationship so much that these are all important steps. It is easy to start thinking that you're doing all the legwork. I'll put it that way. As a man or a woman or whoever is the person taking care of the responsibilities, it is so easy to start getting frustrated because you're taking care of all of the workload. You have to establish a line of communication between the two people to make sure that, like, you're expressing how you're feeling. But remember that you're not nauseous. You're not going through these excruciating body shocks you're able to do, you know, regular things throughout the day. And as much as you're carrying a ton of the workload, you have to remember the other person is creating a person. That in itself is pretty insane. And that's what I try to remind myself, is that this person is crafting a human being inside them. And, you know, on top of that, I want to remember this. I want her to remember this experience as the best experience, even though she's having a hard time through all of it.
And even though, like, and that's the only reason I think your perspective and your ability to keep that, like, you showing me that and even just saying those things as you were going through it and expressing your side of things helped me, you know, because I'm here, like, it was like a battle and it was really hard to keep my head above water and stay positive even. Just like when you're sick for that long, like try having a flu for over a month. Like it was, you know what I mean?
It's insane.
It really gets you down. Not to mention the hormones and emotions literally take over. I didn't even feel like myself. I didn't feel like a human being. I felt completely taken control over. And having him say that made me realize, like, okay, like all this work, and it may not have looked like work on the outside, but it was work. You know, like think about what this is for, and like the miracle of what's happening inside my body. And when I would look at like my What to Expect app and like see the changes that were happening and like what the baby was doing that week, it just was like, wow, this is absolutely amazing and I can handle any of this. Like this is what I'm experiencing is nothing compared to what's happening inside, and it's a miracle.
And that being said, like another good thing for whoever's not carrying the baby to remember is that the first trimester is the worst in most cases. So It's only for a certain period of time that all that legwork is gonna be done by you. So, and as we were getting closer to second trimester, she was able to help. And I almost felt guilty. I almost felt guilty for any help I received, because I felt like that was my responsibility at that point, because I was like groomed to do that for a couple months. At that point, it was like, oh, and it felt so nice to have some of the workload alleviated from me, and it was so nice, and now we're getting to a closer balance, but it is tough. It is tough. It is a constant battle every single day to tell yourself, okay, she's going through tougher, you know what I mean? Like, even though I got all these tough tasks and responsibilities, she's got it worse. Mm-hmm. So, like, I got nauseous one day throughout her whole entire thing, and I was like, oh God. Yeah, taking all the responsibilities and having some peace of mind during the day and knowing I'm not gonna get sick, I'll take that over.
Yeah, I definitely would rather do lots of work. But yeah, so another thing, like besides, you know, those physical ailments and that readjustment, would definitely be how our mental list of priorities kind of shifted almost instantly. And in different ways, we both kind of
stepped up.
Yeah, stepped up / refocused. I mean, we've talked about, forever, you know, we always are updating our goals and discussing, you know, our future and our plans and short-term and long-term goals, and kind of just like sometimes we'll plan out, you know, like goals for the month or goals for the year or just goals in general with no timeline. But having a baby in the picture really does kind of narrow in your focus, and it really is like it is like an instinctual parental force that just kind of erupts inside you. Like I saw it in him, and it was like this natural fatherly like instinct of like helping take care of me, take care of this baby, like make sure we're set up, like make sure that I think all his ducks were in a row sort of thing. And I had the same thing on, okay, like make sure, like, okay, so we need to move because we need more space, and you know, just all these other things that kind of just like became our narrowed in focus. And it was really interesting to be a part of and see, because it happens without even thought, like it just was instinctual. And I think that's really, really cool as well. Like almost just really magical how, you know, these changes are happening in my body, but mentally and in our relationship, how it wasn't like it was work and we had to think like, oh, now how are we gonna do this? It was just like, hey, here's what needs to get done. Let's do it. And we came up with plans, and in the past, like in a week, we accomplish so much and get so much closer to where we want to be.
It comes to teamwork too. Like when I look at, I was already handling too much, and when you started talking about like moving and all that stuff, I was like, or I'm like, I can't handle this. I'm like, this is on you. You do the research, whatever. If you need me to be there from a couple of times or whatever, no problem. But this, I have too much on my plate right now. And that again, that's communication and teamwork, mm-hmm. right?
Well,
and
then that was already my plan too, right? Like I was like, no, of course. Like this is like, I'll handle all that stuff at the home and getting ourselves situated, and you handle, and work situation and getting all of that worked out.
And I'm so grateful. And and that pans out so great. Like, and that's where if you are the person that is carrying the baby, that's some of the things that you have to think about, is that your partner is going to be taking a lot of responsibilities. Any little thing like Laura's been doing is those little things, and they're not little, like finding an apartment is it's a job, but any little thing that you can do goes such a long way.
100%.
Such a long way. You know
and
what I mean?
And like, I feel your gratitude so much, like the smallest thing. When I started feeling like better enough to actually like make a meal or like just clean the house a tiny bit, his gratitude was so immense. And it made me feel so amazing, because I felt really good being able to be back doing something that felt like myself and something I wanted to do. And I didn't think it was a big deal, but he was just so grateful. And like, it just felt like I was like pampering a prince. Like it made him feel so good and relaxed. And like, just us being able to come back to that happy medium of, give and take, and us just being able to like, you know, bring to the table what each strengths are and like just make each other feel so supported is just like, I love being back at this place instead of being just like in the crushing weight of all the symptoms.
Yeah.
We're in second trimester as of yesterday. And I do feel a difference already, which is insane.
Good.
I know.
So let's talk about some of the difficulties in the first trimester, some of the changes. Food. Let's start with food. She hates everything. Hated everything.
It started even before I knew I was pregnant. I was turned off of alcohol.
Badly. I'd never seen it before. I'd never seen her turn down a glass of wine.
My secret's revealed. No, it's true.
She's like, I don't want it. Like, I'm just not feeling it. You have it. And I'm like,
he was like, what the heck?
Sure.
I would literally take a sip of like we bought a really nice bottle of wine for, I think, my birthday or something. Maybe it was before that. And I took a sip of it and like saliva just like ran to my mouth. Like I was going to throw up if I took one more sip. It was so gross. And then I think it was like a couple days after we found out I was pregnant, my coffee tasted like crap. And before that even, I went days without even realizing I didn't even have a coffee. It was weird how quickly my taste buds changed. Like things I love, like hummus, tasted like bile, bitter crap. Applesauce tasted bad. Anything like garlicky or oniony tasted bad. And well, for the first bit, everything was horrible.
Everything.
I couldn't eat anything. It was so, I was so nauseous and also had to eat, but it was just a huge struggle. And then
whoever's there helping that needs to cook or whatever, it's
good
a ride.
Luck. Yeah, good luck.
You're there. What do you want? Everything is awful. Oh, everything is terrible.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. What do you want, though?
The amount of times I was literally collapsed on the kitchen floor, just bawling my eyes out, because I was like, I need to eat and feed this baby, and I know I need to eat because I'm hungry, but I literally couldn't stomach anything. It was so rough. But then once that started to taper out, like I still was nauseous for a couple weeks and throwing up, but I got a little better. And now I'm definitely kind of narrowed in onto what I like and what sits well. Thankfully, I'm really grateful for this. Junk food, anything greasy or salty, I am detested by. Like, it is the grossest thing to me. And my cravings are like fresh fruit, strawberries and grapes, kale salad, like anything fresh.
Toast, bread, toast.
In the morning. For the first bit, like anything bread is all I could eat.
Wake up in the morning, first thing, toast.
Yeah, but now it's just, I really love that I'm craving fresh and healthy things, because it makes me feel really good, because that's how I wanted to eat during my pregnancy, just for the baby and nutrient-wise. So I love that I'm craving that. But it does suck, like, any flavor, like flavored cooking, I don't like the smell of most cooking. I used to be like an onions and garlic girl. Like every recipe, I was like, okay, first onions, garlic, then add shit. Like it was just, that was my
everything. Everything. The cooking and everything made the house smell so great. Yeah,
and like spices, but now I don't like any spice. I hate onions. I won't even eat them in a salad. Like I hate them. No garlic, no like chili powder or anything like that. Just salt and pepper or salad dressing is the only thing I can really manage. And yeah, so I mean, it is different, especially like flavor wise, like you get used to what you want to eat usually. And then, but now I'm at the point where it's been so long that I know like my taste buds are like, it's gross. So why would I eat that? And so it's, I've readjusted, but it kind of felt like lonely for a bit.
Yeah. And then which brings you to smells.
Yeah. Smells.
Okay. So I've never felt more like a walking pile of garbage. That's actually how I feel every single day. I look at her and I'm like, I can't get too close because I'm literally walking sewage to her. It's the worst. I've never heard anything in my life. Everything's been fine, you know. She'll get close, love me, blah, 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 blah. Now she is repulsed. I have a hard time looking and talking to other people thinking that they think I'm a walking bag of garbage. And I'll like cover my mouth a little bit because like my breath, she can't stand all those things. No shame in telling you. And like,
it got better.
She's like, oh, I'll go to the washroom, you know, brush your teeth, do all those things. I do all those things. You still stink. Go away. Right.
Oh right. Man. No, it's true. But like, I mean, it has gotten better. Like pregnancy does give you a super powered nose. Like, especially when you're sick, I couldn't even walk in my kitchen. I couldn't open my fridge. I could smell what was in the fridge from a mile away. I could smell the pantry. It was a horrible place to be. And he did. He smelled really bad to me.
I still do.
No, it is better. Like, it's just like random days. Like,
no, it's every day. It isn't
every day. There's just...
It's every day. Just admit it.
It's just your mouth. Every day. And sometimes, like, when he comes home from work and he's been, like, at the shop with all the shop smells and then, like, running around with the kids, I make him shower because I can't deal, but...
Oh, no.
But it really sucks because, I mean, I love loving on him and loving and, like, getting love and snuggles and stuff. And, like, the smell, like...
It's the worst. Come here. I want some love. I give her love. Oh, you're disgusting. Go away. It's like... Make up your mind.
I know.
Thank you. You bring me closer just to reject me. I love this game. This is a great game.
It's so horrible.
Come here. Get out of here.
No, but it really sucks because it's so, like, it's something I can't control. Like, the smell is like a trigger to like push away and like throw up. Like,
I just see the faces she makes.
Oh man, but it's so painful.
Never seen
for
someone
me.
So disgusted.
It's not like regular, like, oh, that smells bad, but I can manage. It's like my body is like ejecting itself from the scenario because it cannot deal with this. And when the bad smells are around, I honestly get angry. I get really angry. Like if the car smells bad or from somewhere that smells bad, I get so angry because it's something I can't escape and it makes me feel so sick.
I like, there's been some times where I walk around and I go, I wonder if all my friends just never told me that I stink.
No, it's and not
it's,
true.
And it's been a thing forever. No one has the balls to tell me.
Like, I swear, like, I can smell the bacteria in your stomach when you open your mouth. Like, that's how good my nose is.
She'll be like, did you fart? I'm like, no, but I was about to. How'd you know?
Yes, straight up.
That's how bad it is almost.
No, it's really bad.
Just kidding, I don't fart.
Ever. My gosh.
So yeah, smells, get ready for that. Which also means that I can't cook any of the things that I want to eat because
it's gotten
they're
better,
strong.
But they,
smelling. It does get better over time.
But it was bad for the first
There's
bit.
A light at the end of the tunnel.
There is. So yeah, that was another one of those struggles that we, I mean, they tell you like, oh yeah, you'll have like a higher sense of smell. They don't tell you like how bad it's going to be.
No.
Like how absolutely horrible. And even people that tell you it's bad, like, I just feel like you don't know until you're.
You really don't. Cause you've never been there.
No. And like my sister told me about these things. Like, but I just like saw it as like, just like, oh, like whatever. Like I never really thought about it, but like it like, yeah, no, it's really bad.
The emotions.
Another emotions. Really bad. Just like difficult.
I'm the type, and like I love this about Laura is that I can tease, probe, you know, annoy, and she's the nicest person ever, and she'll just kind of take it, you know, and once every couple weeks I'll push it too far, and then she cries, and then, you know, I realize I went too far, and, you know, we kind of resolve it and everything's fine. Now it's every day. Like, I barely push her, and it's like tears, and I feel like shit, and I'm like, oh man, I miss being able to be a little shit, and I can't. It's
that's gotten better too, though.
It will.
No, it has, because I now, like, I've gotten to the point where I understand, like, I can't control these emotions, but I can bounce back really quickly, and I can.
You do bounce back way quicker.
It was really hard for the first bit because I had never experienced that before. Like, I have never experienced those kind of heightened emotions before. Like, I experienced emotions and, like, hormones too, obviously, but never to this degree. And I was always able to really control them, and I really, like, took pride in, like, making sure I had control over my emotions and didn't let my hormones that kind of, like, are changing through the month ever, like, dictate how my day went or dictate how a relationship conversation went, anything like that.
Well, I feel like that means that they come less quick, right? This is more of a rush, whereas before it can kind of, like, slowly creep up.
No, it can come quickly, especially if you're, like, time of the month. Like, I can feel sometimes, but I would like, taper it in my mind, and I, like, knew what it was, but there's, like, it was like my brain went to mush. It completely just, like, melted in my head, and it was just soup, and my entire being filled up with whatever emotion I was feeling. So whether it was just, like, sadness or irritation, like, I just, yeah, it was a lot to deal with. But
I wonder if I'm the only one. Until about probably last year, I'm a little bit better, but every time, you know, girls get their periods, right? And they act different. They're a little bit more emotional, or a lot more emotional, and everything like that. And it always hits me like a truck. I never think that the period's there. It never clicks that that's the association. That's why the emotions are happening. That's why they're kind of, like, frustrated, angry, whatever. And literally, it's the same time every single month almost. And I never clue in.
Well, I think that's a good thing.
I never clue in. I feel like, I don't know if there's a lot of other guys like that, but literally they never think about it.
That's good that you don't think about it, because the thing is too, we don't want to be, like, deduced to that. And, like, for someone like me, who I take pride in knowing and trying to, like, taper off or, like, kind of control myself, if I do feel like I'm, like, more irritated because of the situation, I also, like, something got me there, you know what I mean? So I don't want to be not taken seriously. But that's another topic for another story, yeah. Like, another podcast, but...
But yeah, and then there's also the clothes situation for pregnancy, which you were super fortunate for.
I'm beyond fortunate. I couldn't be more fortunate. Does that sound braggy?
No, not at all. Showing gratitude just and appreciation, like, for blessed. It, right?
Being, so, I mean, picture this. If there's any ladies out here listening to this, like, you know. Already, there's, like, clothes in general are just... Not necessarily your best friend always, you know, especially, like, if you're a little bloated or something, like, if something doesn't fit you quite right, or you just feel fat, like, it's just, you just feel so horrible. And imagine, you're pregnant, you're dealing with first trimester stuff, you got the sickness, the emotions, like, everything's out of whack, and then all of a sudden you're getting bigger and nothing fits you. I can't imagine, like, imagine why I went into, I tried to go shopping for new underwear. One time, during the first trimester, like, kind of early, it was probably week.
Where was it, Lazenza or something?
No, it was La Vion Rose. And it was.
We walk in.
No, but it was, what was it, week 9, 10? So I was still, like, not used to my emotions and anything like that. And we literally walked in, I pick up a couple pairs, realize that I have no idea what size to get, like, I've always bought a small or extra small. I've always bought the same ones. Like, do I get a medium? Is that going to feel better? Is it going to be too loose? And these thoughts are coming to my mind, and I have no idea what to do. And underwear is not something you can just, like, buy and return. You have to buy it because you know your size. Like, it's like a final sales kind of thing. So I just start crying in the store. And, like, not just, like, simple, like, tears. Like, I was crying. And this poor guy is with me. I should have brought a girl with me.
Already uncomfortable being in those stores, but...
And I'm, like, you're crying. You're there with, like, a
crying... Like, I wonder if other people are, like, thinking I'm an asshole, being like, oh, you won't fit in that, or blah, 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 like I'm some asshole.
And I'm like, I just want to go. And he's like, don't you want these?
Like, I'm like, just let's buy a pair. It doesn't matter. If we have to not use it or waste them, I don't care. Let's just get something because you'll feel better once you're home. Right now, it's just like.
But I was beside myself. It was
there's
just not
no
a good idea.
No way. Don't even try.
But anyways, to kind of talk about the blessing of it is that I was lucky enough to have an older sister who just went through 2 pregnancies at different times during the year, who bought like thousands of dollars worth of maternity clothes and just sent me a big bucket
full
of clothes. So instead of it being like, okay, cool, I'm just gonna stretch out my favorite shirt and like wear the same pair of pants because they're the only ones that stretch enough to like not squish this baby, I would have a plethora of options.
And
for
she
all
looks
seasons.
Good in them. You. Gotta say.
Thank you.
Digging this pregnant stage.
Yeah, no, I'm into it now. But, well, the first bit too, like you're bloated, and it's not necessarily the baby. Like you're bloated in that area, but it's like half growing uterus, half just like bloat because your body is like full of different hormones. And yeah, I just felt like I just felt nauseous and sick and fat, and it was gross. But now it's gotten to the point where I'm feeling better. My body hasn't really retained fluid anywhere. I am just kind of getting that little belly bump showing, and I'm feeling more confident and like prettier, which is super nice. And it's just so lovely to have these clothes options that are so beautiful, great quality, and actually fit my changing body.
And you're lucky. You're very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, and this is, and then you're looking at the mentality standpoint, like over a period of time in the first trimester, it's very easy to get carried away with all the negativity because it is a lot of that. You're nonstop having issues with the smells, the food, the emotions, and all this different stuff, and so much of it consecutive can get you kind of in a dark place. Yeah, a very dark place.
And it 100% did. Like I was not better than it. Like it definitely got me down. I cried a lot, and I mean half emotions, half just like it was hard. And I knew that I could handle it, like, and I knew that it was so worth it. And I also had faith. I mean, you know, you never know, you could be sick your entire pregnancy, but I had faith that it would kind of calm down as I went on to the weeks.
Well, you're looking at like 2 people are going through some really difficult time. So I'm there for you when you're talking about all the stuff that you're dealing with, but
you got things piled.
I got my side too as well. So it's like all this, like both of us trying to take over each other's problems add up to a lot of stuff to deal with. And it is so hard to stay positive and share some of the ways that you've been able to kind of stay happy through of all of it and kind of shift your standpoint. Cause from that dark place?
I mean, it was kind of a mix of things. Like there was times when it just got better of me, and I just had to I reached out for support a lot. As soon as I got pregnant, I had this yearning. Like I used to love being alone. Like I would spend days and days alone. I never, you know what I mean? Like I reach out to my friends and family and hang out with people, but I could go like a long time just being at home, just seeing Pat and whatever. But as soon as I got pregnant, I just felt this like yearning desire to like have people, have support, you know, have my mom, have my sisters, have people around me. And they also really helped for dealing with just support and loving me, making sure I didn't feel crazy. We have a lovely group message with all my sisters, my mom, and whenever I was going through whatever it was, like I could just lay it on them or talk to them, FaceTime, cry, and just get it out. And they would just make me feel so supported and not crazy, and just say like, of course you're feeling that way, like that's the symptoms, of course you're feeling that way, it's the hormones. And like,
it's such
this
an
really
under
helped me. Like,
yeah,
if you, I can't imagine if you didn't have any support system, or you've never been, had no one around you that's ever been pregnant, like I would feel so alone. It would feel so much harder. But that was something that really kept my like faith in like it's gonna get better. And just like I just like it really helped with my perspective of like focusing more on the fact that this is a beautiful thing. Like this is my baby, and I love my baby, and I'm so happy for this. And it just helps, like, make it, like, you can, like, okay, if you can make it to this next week, like, next week will be better. And if it isn't, like, the next week is going to get better. And
which is so huge, especially considering, like, from my point of view, when you're miserable over and over again, despite all the efforts and time that I put and trying really, really hard through all of it, it's discouraging. And my side of things where I'm like, I'm doing everything and still she's, you know, not happy most of the times or going through so much and everything like that, where I can start feeling like I'm failing. So it is huge. I think that that's probably the biggest underrated point is that support system that you've been able to reach out to, because one, it uplifts your mood, which by default, uplifts mine, but it also takes away from all of the kind of negative stuff that gets shared all the time, and it gets, you know, placed somewhere else. Yeah, and it's
because we're both dealing with it all, right? And he's dealing with, and he really does take responsibility for my happiness almost to a fault sometimes, and for things like the actual sickness, like when I'm like writhing in pain because the nausea is so bad, he would like get down on himself that he couldn't fix it. And you know, that's something impossible. Like, he can't fix it. Like, he did everything he could to support me, but it's not something he can fix. But that would still, like, dampen the mood. So having a place I could go where all these strong, willing ladies could help me just, like, I could vent or talk or whatever and come back feeling a little bit more human, it helped to alleviate some of the darkness that was kind of around.
Plus, you know, looking at the progress, too, as progress gets made, and you watch some of the like little baby videos and what to expect and the sizes that it's getting and all these actual, you know, cute things are
like the baby's face is being formed this week and like those its elbows are working now and like
use those, you know, like that's ways to kind of cheer yourself up. It hits you like a truck sometimes. Sometimes you're like, oh yeah, I know I'm having a baby, it's no big deal, and then later in the day you're like, oh my god, I'm gonna be a dad, what the, you know, like, and you're just like, it's what, like, it's insane, right? And sometimes you're like almost unfazed, like, yeah, I know, it's weird.
No, it's so true. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm like pregnant, I'm having this baby, and then I'm like, oh my goodness, I get to be a mom, like, this is amazing, like, I couldn't even dream how amazing this is going to be and like how much it's already changed my life. And just like how like ready and excited I am, and oh man.
Let's talk about the fears of the unknown.
Yeah, that was actually, this is a really important topic of this podcast. Like really important. I know that every woman will go through this. I just know it because it's just what you do. The mind, okay, anyways, I'm just gonna get right into it. I had like a kind of good idea that this was gonna happen after watching my sister go through her pregnancies and just understanding pregnancy and what it is. And basically you're there and you're pregnant and you're dealing with all these things on the outside, but you know, you picture this baby in growth and inside you, and you think about it, but you have zero way to know what's going on in there. You can watch a video about what's happening on week 9, week 10, week 11, week 13. Well, I missed week 12 there. I can count, I promise. It's the pregnancy. when you watch what's happening, but you have no idea if all things are going according to plan. You have no idea if you've never had a baby before, like if this is your first one. And you don't know if everything's okay in there. You don't know if your uterus is working well enough. You don't know, like, yeah, you know you conceive, but especially before your first appointment, you haven't seen the baby in there. You don't know there's a heartbeat. It's not like you're growing and you can see that your belly is getting bigger. Like, you've got symptoms, but you have no way of knowing. And there's so much scary stuff on the internet. There's so many possibilities of things happening. And it can really like plague your mind and
overwhelm you.
A lot of the, I think, pregnancy hormones too just make you alert to these things. It's a really bad mix. And I went through a really bad bout of like just fixating on the possibilities of things that could happen. And it really kind of got my mind in this racing pattern of, you know, this unknown. But I just started avidly working and focusing on releasing it and just knowing that the chances of conception are so small. Like, even though there's babies born every day, like, just the chance of that egg and that sperm and just conception in general, and that itself is such a miracle. And the fact that these two cells just know what to do, and suddenly tiny little, like, inch size is a baby formed, like, fetus. And it's just, that itself is such a miracle. And you know what? No, you can't know. And you're gonna find things out as they come, but just having faith that this is a divine creation, and just releasing it, and just, you know what I mean? Just giving it up to a higher power, and just taking your those thoughts out of your mind, and just, like, having hope and faith, and just, like, just kind of calm yourself down, and just, I think, be that, grateful that it's happening at all, you know?
And I think that it's a totally normal thing. Like, I've caught myself sometimes get a little worried, but then I just tell myself, you know what? At the end of the day, there's nothing I can do about it, and I'm going to love it no matter what. And is it arrogant? Is it cocky to say, you know, it's a gas gal? It's going to be fine. Like, it's a gas gal.
He says that to me all the time.
And that's my mantra. And is it cocky, arrogant? Probably, maybe. You know, is it prideful? Absolutely. Is it healthy for me? Yeah. It makes me feel better.
Makes me feel better.
And it, you know, pushes me through to make, it's basically my everything's gonna be okay. It's a gas gal.
Sometimes I get worried and he'll just say, babe, what do I always say? Like, it's a gas gal. He's like, it's a gas gal.
Stop worrying. It's a gas gal.
It's resilient, it's strong. Just sit back and let this baby grow.
That's it.
And it really does help.
And some of the changes that you got to make. We live in a one bedroom apartment, can't do that anymore. So
we're moving. We've been on the hunt for a while now. We have a promising place kind of lined up, so we're waiting to hear on that.
But some of the things to look out for, you know, if you like taking your baby for walks and all that stuff, like, you can't get an apartment with heavy sets of stairs and all that stuff, or should try to avoid that because that's, you know, tough. Or, you know, groceries that you have to bring up the stairs with a baby in your hand, or all these different things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that you have to think about. Is there anything other that you can think?
Well, yeah, just like the difference. Like, we were apartment hunting this time last year, and the things that we want differently in this place are, like, there's so many other stipulations that we're focused on, whether it comes to area, safeness of the place, like you said, stairs,
security
in general. Like, size and what the apartment has, and making sure that, you know, the place has a certain degree of, like, cleanliness. I mean, I've always kind of looked for that, but, you know, we've gone to some places and I'm thinking, like, I would never put my baby in this bathtub. Like, this is not it.
It's disgusting. And but yeah,
we,
so true.
Just, so it just really just made it our search a little bit harder, especially when we were looking, there is just nothing available. But yeah, it's interesting how many different things become important to you. And it's so natural. And I think, too, the fact that those are on our mind instinctually made me really happy, because it's not like we're doing something wrong and then regretting it and finding out things later. Like, we're instinctually knowing what
apartment,
to do.
Apartment shopping is a commitment, too. You got to know, you got to be sure, right? Like, for at least a year.
You got to be on the ball.
So we're going to wrap up with that. But what we want to do, if you have any questions, especially if you're going through pregnancy right now, you want our opinion on anything like that, reach out to us at Outspoken on Facebook. You can find us there. We'll be more than happy to answer any of your questions. If you have any questions tailored to me, or if you have any questions tailored specifically just to Laura, go for it. More than happy to help you with those stuff.
It doesn't have to be pregnancy related even. Like, just throw your questions out there.
100%. And so we're just going to go through our social media handles. Again, you can find me or Laura at Outspoken on Facebook, or you can find me at Patrick_Gaskell on Instagram.
And my Instagram is Laura Catherine, that's LauraKaathryn. And we're really happy if you guys reach out to us at any point in time.
Some of the episodes that we're going to have coming up, we're going to do a gender reveal at some point. That's going to be super fun. We don't know what it is yet, obviously. It's too soon. And, you know, names we'll probably get down the road. What else? So there's a gender reveal. Oh, we're going to be doing second trimester third trimester, mm-hmm. just to let you know the progress and everything that kind of goes along with it all.
And we're hoping to be pretty like open about stuff too, and just like talk about the nitty gritty, the happy, the bad, the good, the sad.
That's it. Oh, and next episode we're gonna do a short one about gender guessing and the wives' tales.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be a fun one. And if you have any wives' tales you've heard of that you want us to answer symptom-wise, that'd be super fun.
Yeah, love that.
Awesome, thank you so much for tuning in. We definitely missed you guys.
Yeah, 100%. I look at, you know, the application in my podcast all the time, just being like, man, I gotta go back on there. But thanks everybody, and we'll catch you next time.